Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh my gosh, in soccer, we trust us. We have the roster for the Nations League Games. And we need to get into it. So hit like and subscribe, and let's get after it.
Yes! What is up, everybody? And welcome to Justin Babb's favorite podcast in soccer. We trust
Jimmy Cream Cheese Trash Can Conradinho Conrad, also known as Jim, alongside Hollywood Heath Pierce, who looks like Ethan Hawke from Reality Bites right now, if you can see him on YouTube, and Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies, who's got a spiral staircase behind him. He's clearly in one of his homes somewhere, not in his usual spot. Great to see you, Chuck, first and foremost. Where you been, dude? Where you been? We missed you.
I'm hanging out in the Dominican Republic. A nice family vacation before this year gets hectic. But this place is incredible.
It is incredible, and it's nice that you get to share so many different locales with us based on all the properties that you have around the world. We're reacting to the U.S. Men's National Team rosters, everybody. That's what's happening right now. We have it. There's no domestic players on this roster. It's 24 total, I believe. But before we get into it and we hear from Heath, we want to make sure that you guys hit like and subscribe. Leave some comments about what you're thinking about this roster. Download and follow and leave a five-star review on your podcast platform of choice. And then please share our podcast with a friend. That would be very cool of you. And also, we have to remind everybody that we are a finalist in the soccer category for the Sports Podcast Awards. And we need your help. Please take a minute out of your day, please, to vote. The link is in the description and you can hit that QR code at the top right as well to make that happen. We're trying to put a trophy in our trophy case. We have none. We're zero right now. We need to get to one. We put a lot of hard work and sweat and tears and sacrifice into this. But let's get into the roster after we hear from Heath Pierce. Yeah. Heath, how are you doing, buddy? You look cold.
I'm doing good. I don't know if you guys remember when we were talking about who should come in. I was like, you know, leave the MLS guys. Let them focus on the season. You know, use this as an opportunity. And maybe you're not a coach. Listen to that and took that advice. Jimmy, also, there is a domestic player in.
Wait, is Miles Robinson.
Robinson is a domestic player that's been
he
called
is.
In. Imagine
Miles
him
Robinson
being the one being like, you know, in a group chat right now, all the other guys that are in these little WhatsApps are being like, oh, must be nice, man. Huh? Must be nice to know the coach. You know, to get the call up. But yeah, we knew that was one that as the domestic player that we knew was like, get him back into the mix, bring him around the team. Really important for him personally and for the team that I think is circumstantial versus the others that either weren't deserving of a call-up, but is a unique opportunity to bring in a wider base of players when you start a brand new season with Major League Soccer.
Yeah, I'm just going to whip through this roster first and foremost, and then Chuck, I'll come to you. We'll start with the goalkeepers and work our way up. Okay, so goalkeepers, Ethan Horvath, Zach Steffen, Matt Turner, Serginho Dest, Mark McKenzie, these are the defenders, Tim Ream, Brian Reynolds coming back into the fold, Anthony Robinson, Miles Robinson, Joe Staley, and Austin Trusty, looking to get his first ever cap for the U.S. Men's National Team. In midfield, we got Brendan Aaronson. Johnny Cardoso is getting the call-up. Whether he's going to get called in or not, Tyler Adams just got announced that he's going to be hurt with a hamstring. He might be out with Leeds for a little while as well. So Cardoso, was he already in? Was he not? Is he a replacement? We don't know that yet. Luka De La Torre, Weston McKennie, Yunus Musah, and a bit of a surprise for me. I'll just get in early on this. Alan Senora getting the call back in. And then forwards up top, release the attacking players. Taylor Booth from Utrecht. A lot of traction around him. We're excited to see him in the team. He's looking for his first cap as well. Daryl DK is back in. Ricardo Pepi's back in the team. Christian Pulisic is there. Gio Reyna is in. We speculated yesterday in our emergency podcast around the Reyna Berhalter situation. Would he get called in? He's in. Timo Weah is in. And Alejandro Zendejas, who just committed to the U.S. over Mexico, is in. He only has one cap. He has 6 goals and 3 assists for Club America in Liga MX this season. So, Chuck, let's go back to goalkeepers. Horvath, Stefan Turner, feeling good about that?
Love it. I have no objections here. Absolutely none. Matt Turner is not playing all the time, but you can see when he has played in the Europa League outside of the last match where I think in the Europa League he got caught in no man's land on the corner kick. Probably could have done better with a rebound. But I think ultimately he has improved with his feet. There's no doubt about that. Zach Steffen's playing every week as well as Ethan Horvath. So I have no problems with those three being selected. I think Gaga Slonina is probably the fourth keeper
with the
U20s, in this scenario.
He'll probably be with the U20s. Yeah. They have their own camp.
So he'll be busy. So from that standpoint, I'm happy with the selection here.
Okay, and then Heath, I know we're probably getting ahead of ourselves. We'll have a special preview for these games, of course, and each game specifically. But just like looking into it, thinking you're Anthony Hudson, the interim coach for this, when you bring in Stefan, who didn't get included in the World Cup roster, you bring him back into the fold, I assume you're going to give him one of these two games. Are you feeling the same way? I mean, you're not going to bring him in and then let him watch Matt Turner play for both.
I would assume that would be the case. I mean, it's tough to say, right? We know with goalkeepers, it's not about rotation in the national team with goalkeepers. You're going to go with your number one almost always with the minutes that you have because you have rare moments to get through them. It's not really a place where you get a chance of tinkering, maybe a half, but because they're official matches, I think you go with Matt Turner for both of those. But I agree with Charlie's sentiments on, Gaga would have been good, but probably better used to get legitimate minutes with the U20s right now. And all these guys are playing and deserving of being called up into the national team. It's actually a nice little 1, 2, and 3 of competition for maybe until Gaga or somebody else steps in and creates a little tension with that.
I should have mentioned too at the top for both of you and everybody listening and watching that this is the first open window that FIFA has had since the World Cup. So this is the first time that our whole player pool was available. Now we did have a couple games back in January that was essentially domestic players and guys that weren't playing so much for their European teams. And we had a 2-1 loss against Serbia in that and a 0-0 draw with Colombia. And so now we get to see a full slate of guys. Very excited about it, of course. So let's move into the defenders. I think there's a lot to talk about here. You got Sergiño Dest, who hasn't played much for AC Milan lately. Mark McKenzie coming into the team. Excited for his opportunity. Tim Ream, who's got 50 caps for the U.S., getting called back in. One of the better center backs for sure in the Premier League this season. Brian Reynolds. We were not talking about Brian Reynolds in terms of him potentially being called in. Anthony Robinson, Miles Robinson. We're very excited to see him back in the fold. Joe Scally and Austin Trusty. So, Chuck, I'll come back to you on this with regard to defenders, and then we're going to hear from the resident defenders, me and Heath Pierce. But what are your initial thoughts on these names?
You know, I think looking at it, the only glaring omission for me is Cameron Carter-Vickers just because.
Yeah, that is an interesting.
I mean, literally, his manager came out after the last performance from Cameron Carter-Vickers and said he is the best defender in the Scottish Premier League. He is the best defender. Best defender on Celtic and the best defender in the league. For me,
Do you think he turned it down?
No. Yeah. I mean, why would you turn it down?
Maybe he's hurt. Maybe there's
There could be more to that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you turn it down. I think it's I'm injured or I picked up a knock in training or I have some sort of muscular problem. But other than that, I'm happy that Austin Trusty's back in the fold. I think he's earned it given his playing time. Mark McKenzie has earned it. He's always starting at the center of the back for his team. I like Miles Robinson being included here. Joe Scally, he plays consistently. I mean, I think his form has gone down since the World Cup, but he's still playing. And Tim Ream's the standout of all the defenders. He's still, for me, he's the number one defender period that we have along that back line. He's He's the captain in chief. I mean, he's performing in the English Premier League. He's proven it in the World Cup. He's in the form of his life. Unfortunately, he's 30. He's 35
years old.
But he
can't dribble for shit.
But he's the guy right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And then really quick about Austin Trusty to give everybody some context. He played for our U-17s, our U-19s, U-20, U-23 national teams. He actually was a homegrown with Philadelphia Union before making the move mm-hmm. to the Colorado Rapids. And then from there, and the owner of Arsenal, the Kroenke family, Stan Kroenke, also owns the Rapids, and Arsenal made a move to sign him. And they loaned him out to Birmingham, where he's played 36 games and scored 4 goals this season. Now, Birmingham are starting to float closer to the relegation zone in the championship, but I think Austin Trusty's been a real bright spot for them in particular. So I'm excited and very happy for him to get this opportunity. It's nice to see him get rewarded. So fair play to Anthony Hudson for making that happen. Heath, as our resident left back, how are you feeling about our outside back situation? Any comments on the center backs as well?
Not ideal. I mean, Brian Reynolds, I think I like. That was probably my big surprise in that back line. Austin Trusty was a big surprise because we talked about Chris Richards being a core part of the national team as well, not being called in. But it also has a little bit of, if you were Austin Trusty, right, and you were playing every single game, and you see a guy like Chris Richards getting called in above you because he's playing in a bigger club but not playing at all, this gives a little bit of, and again, Chris Richards might have a little knock. There might be something to that. I don't know why he wasn't called in. But it could be a real boost for a player like an Austin Trusty who wasn't really seen as the next big guy at or was going to get the opportunities at Philadelphia Union, gets moved, gets his move abroad, plays every single game to feel rewarded as opposed to being like, well, you got to be in a bigger club and there's a double standard being set here. That's got to be a big boost for his career and his future to feel like I'm being watched. I'm getting an opportunity. Yes, it's not at the level that Chris Richards is playing at or others are playing at, but I'm doing it week in and week out. And to have somebody take notice of that, I think is really important. But, you know, otherwise I agree with Charlie's sentiments. And then Brian Reynolds, obviously we need 7 right backs for the next World Cup. So it's important.
I was going to add this, Heath. Do you either of you think there's a chance that we could see 3 in the back? Because Austin Trusty plays as the left center back in a back 3. We know Antti Robinson could play. Miles Robinson can play in a back 3, and Mark McKenzie has played in a back 3. You have Scally, you have Antti Robinson, Serginho Dest. Those guys can play wing back. We know Timothy Weah can play wing back. Do you think there's a possibility that maybe
I think so.
Hudson says, "Hey, let's try something else because we have more midfielders, 5 midfielders, and then I think the important part is 2 strikers here."
No, I agree with you that is a possibility. I wonder who just sits in the middle of that. I think we saw Tim Ream on the left side of a back 3 against Mexico in the Nations League final.
I would start him centrally.
Well, that's what I would say that too. Yeah. So I'm curious. I think that's something we wanted to see at some point, at least in a game when we had one of those friendlies to try to tinker. That's when we wanted to see Timo Weah up top too. And we didn't get that either. This is interesting though. I Chris Richards and Cameron Carter-Vickers being left out are big omissions for me, given their current form and the fact that Richards did get some games. I know he hasn't played anything meaningful in about 5 or 6 games for Crystal Palace, but Cameron Carter-Vickers, I feel like there's got to be more to that. I don't see why he would turn that down. I agree with you. So maybe there's a muscle injury. Maybe there's something that's not being disclosed. But when Tyler Adams had a muscle injury, they immediately went to Twitter and said, "Hey, get well soon." So I wonder what's going on there. And then Chris Richards as well. Maybe he just didn't want to lose the opportunity to be around the coaching staff, to be around the team for these 2 weeks that they're going to be gone. 10 days, whatever it may be. So I find that to be really fascinating. Serginho Dest hasn't played a lot. I'm curious to see if you roll him out. It's one thing to bring him into the group, but do you start him? I think you do, given what he's done for the team and how valuable he's been for us. But then that's
just too good also to not bring him.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
He's a player that I'm like, dude, you're leaving him out. Like, he's just got too many qualities. Now, he may be way out of form, and you realize maybe for the next camp, okay, something's got to change for you. Because not only are you out of not playing at your club, but you're also out of form confidence wise. And that's not helping us. Right. But for now you kind of have to, and he played, you know, something in January, which is a couple months ago. I'm not trying to give him any justification, but he's a talented player.
So we have two, I'm trying to look at like, who's the backups for Antti Robinson's the left back. You have Joe Scally and Serginho Dest, who both can play on the left side. I don't think that
Timothy Weah, a dog.
That's true. Timothy Weah. You're right. Yeah. even though he's listed as a forward, he can play in all lines.
He probably called Anthony Hudson and was like, don't you dare put me in that defense. When you put out that graphic, don't you have me as a defender in there. I'm not a defender.
I'm curious about this. I'm very curious to see who we roll out and when. We play Granada first. And so on paper, that would probably be the weaker of the two teams, of course. Then El Salvador gives us some problems. I think that's a good shout, Chuck, or the possibility of having a back three. I wonder if Miles Robinson was more, hey, we're going to bring you back into the fold and check you out and see how it's going, as opposed to actually considering him for real minutes. But then I don't know. There's some questions I have about Cameron Carter-Vickers and also about Chris Richards. But let's move into midfield, because they have Brendan Aaronson listed as a midfielder, Johnny Cardoso, who's probably our only true six in this group. You got Luca De La Torre. You don't consider Cardoso?
No, I just think he doesn't have enough to cover space to be a six, a lone six.
So you think it'd be a double pivot then, a double six?
I think you need double sixes if you play with Cardoso. I mean, even Alan Senora, those two in particular just don't have the pace to play as a lone six. Same with Luca De La Torre, who's more of an eight. I think Weston McKennie is probably your closest one to who could be a lone six, just because he can cover a lot of distance and ground. But you know him; it's hard to keep him with a defensive responsibility and not allow him to venture forward.
I bet you Yunus Musa, who also got called in, could probably sit there, but his instincts are to probably get forward and take the space and exploit that space. I just feel like we're going to have a lot of the ball, though, Heath. We're going to have a lot of the ball. So
exactly. Offensively, he likes to come back and get the ball in that sixth spot. He's comfortable because he can drive it. He's also comfortable with pressure.
Wait, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Yunus Musa.
Okay.
So, offensively, I think he can play that sixth position, but defensively, yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, he does put in that two-way shift for sure. But yeah, you need somebody a little more comfortable being disciplined sitting between those center backs. Unless you play in a back three, and then maybe, you can have your double pivots that allow you to put another player up top.
Yeah, I want to make sure that we see this through the context of what's going to happen in these two games. I think of any window where we can miss a Tyler Adams, it's probably this one, because we are going to have so much of the ball. And I think you might be able to take that risk. And we have to win our group to make sure we book our ticket to the Nations League semifinals, which is important. And I think we will do the job no matter really who's out there. I just think we have that much talent and depth, and this roster obviously is very strong. I think you can, though, take a risk, Chuck, with regard to who you elect to play in that sixth position, because I think you can be a little bit more flimsy in terms of, I mean, you need somebody to be there when we're building out, right? And you need somebody that's protecting the passing lanes in front of the back four. But I don't know if these teams, Granada and El Salvador, are really going to hurt us. It's more just about being switched on in transition, right? Because they might have one or two guys that can hurt you if we're committing too many numbers forward. So there's going to have to be a little bit of that discipline to make sure we don't overcommit.
Well, I think if you're playing a back five, even if you're playing with four in the back, we've seen Weston McKennie play in that double pivot with alongside Tyler Adams. Four leads. So he's played the six. He's played it in Schalke. I mean, he's played it with Juve a little bit. He's played it most recently with Leeds. So I think he'll be comfortable in that spot. And we're talking about Granada. The U.S. are going to possess it's going to be 80-20 possession, 75-25. So I think in that case, you get most of your players who are comfortable in the ball. And that's how it should be in CONCACAF for majority of the matches. You keep the ball, we keep possession, and you get your creative players on the ball to unlock these defenses who are sitting back. And you play with two defensive midfielders. I think Weston McKennie and Yunus Musa right now are probably your top two who sit back. And then in front of them, that's when you get creative. That's when you start to come up with these ideas. Is it a Gio Reyna, who is – I watched him play in that Champions League match versus Chelsea on the road. He came in as a early substitute because of an injury. And I thought he was one of the better players on the ball, especially in tight spaces. He running him in the camp, play him. Let's see what he can do in that role. You could also try Christian in that role again, see how that works. But ultimately this is, I think an opportunity to try a 10. In that role and see what that looks like, a creative player who's comfortable on the ball, who's aggressive, and see what that looks like for the future.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot to unpack there with regard to who should play the 10, especially with Brendan Aaronson being listed as a midfielder. He's playing in that spot centrally for Leeds over the last, let's say, month. I know Jesse March was trying him as well, including his new coach, Javi Garcia. Heath, we got some questions here. I'm kind of curious to see how we line up and the decisions that Anthony Hudson's going to make. But I don't know if Alan Senora, who's playing at Juarez right now in Mexico, do you think that maybe Malik Tillman should have been called in over a Senora, given how well Tillman's been playing for Rangers? Or do you think Anthony Hudson's just decided he doesn't like the Scottish Premiership because he left Cameron Carter-Vickers off as well?
I don't know. I mean, the upside is that there's nothing controversial in here. Now, there's players up for debate, but there's nothing controversial. And that's the thing that I like about where we're at now with players playing, the age of the players, the quality of experience that we have, is that you can debate all we want about should this player be called in over this player, but there's nobody being brought in that somebody else is being left out of because they're at an undeniable level. Now, I do think Malik Tillman probably feels a little bit screwed in this one because when he plays, he has been very good, noticeably good. But I actually quite like this roster, and maybe you can swap one or two players out, but none of them that I think are significantly changing the dynamic of this group.
Malik Tillman, just so everybody knows, 7 goals and 4 assists and under 1,600 league minutes so far in the Scottish Premiership. So something to keep in mind with regard to that. All right, we're going to break down our attackers, but first we have to take our first break of In Soccer We Trust, so do not go anywhere.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Very excited to see the new Golasso channel here on CBS Sports / Paramount Plus. And welcome back to In Soccer We Trust. I'm Jimmy Conrad alongside Heath Pierce and one of the stars of the Golasso channel, Charlie Davies, who's wearing many hats these days, including continuing to be, he's a land baron, everybody. He has a lot of properties around the world. Also, it's March, everybody. It's bracket time, so get yours in now. On the CBS Sports app, you can play in men's and women's pools with friends and join our challenges for the chance to win a new car, maybe one of Charlie's, trips to the 2024 Final Four. Get the CBS Sports app or visit cbssports.com/brackets. No purchase necessary, but make sure you see the terms and rules for details because there might be some stuff in there about Chuck and what you can have of his and what you can't. Okay. The shots at Chuck just keep coming. Chuck, we appreciate you being here because we can make fun of you while you're sitting here as opposed to when you're not.
Jimmy, thank you. On that note, Charlie, when you asked, did we do a show yesterday? I was so happy because that means you did not hear Jimmy and I going after you in the beginning of that one. Maybe going after at the beginning of Monday's show. Just to let you know, you might want to go back and pop in and see what was said about
it. Don't tell him to do that. Don't tell him to do that.
You guys want to get me fired up. Okay.
We just want to know if you still love us. That's all.
Yes, that's all. But you're here. You're here and you got a spot.
I'm here. I'm in the Dominican Republic at the beach, all this. I'm here. I am here. Of course I love you guys. You guys are fam.
And you got your golf polo on. I'm for sure you got your yacht shoes on. I mean, it's all happening for Chuck. He's got it all put together. All right, let's get into the attackers of this roster. We're going to go to our resident attacker, Chuck Davies, on this. So Taylor Booth is in. I think we're all excited about that. Daryl Dike, I'm excited to see him. Ricardo Pepi, Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna, Timo Weah, and Alejandro Zendejas. Chuck, take it away. How do you feel? What are your overall thoughts about these attacking options?
I would say I love it. The only, I guess, omission here that has me pondering a bit is Josh Sargent, just because he's been playing well. I would assume
just coming back from an injury.
It's just the injury part, but you still, if he's playing, he's playing, right?
I mean, healthy.
So I'm a And just his last performance with the U.S. at the World Cup was very strong up until his injury.
Only a player, by the way, says that when they don't get called in, it's because, I was coming off of injury, and, you know, like, that's why I didn't get called in. But otherwise, if you're playing, you'd expect to get called in. If you don't get called in, then you use the excuse that you were injured. Tell your friends.
Yeah, 100%. But I love Taylor Booth getting called in. If you are player of the month in the European League, you deserve to be. You've done enough to be called in, especially when he's playing for Utrecht and you have PSV, Feyenoord, and Ajax who are all battling for the championship. So, you know, to get it, you've put in some meaningful performances. To see what he looks like with this group, it's a fantastic call-up in my opinion. Ricardo Pepi's been performing as well in the same league. Daryl Dike has gotten hot. He's in form now, so he's earned a call-up. Christian, he's Christian, so no worries there. Gio Reyna, for me, he's got the quality. Yes, all the baggage and everything, that's his parents, and I don't think he should be punished for his parents. You get punished for your attitude. You get punished for not performing and yada, yada. But we all know he's got a gift in his ability, in his qualities. If you're going to move past it, now's the time. So I understand after watching him in Champions League, the guy is playing. He's still got a huge ceiling. Bring him into camp and see what he looks like. I think I agree with that decision. Tim Weah is just a quality player. He can play every damn position on the pitch. And the fact that he's adjusted to playing wing back and outside back in Liga, it goes to show how good of a player he is and the IQ to play those positions. And then Alex Indeas just committed to the U.S. So let's see what he looks like with the top group. Yeah. So let's go.
All right. And Heath, I know you got to leave in a few minutes, so this will be your final thoughts as well. Talk to us about your thoughts on the attackers.
No, I mean, we spoke about it. The Gio Reyna one, I think it's important. Just bring him in. You got to bring him in because no matter what, if you think it's going to blow over and things are going to pass, you're going to have to address it eventually. He's a young kid with a ton of upside, and this will sort of show who we are going to see for the foreseeable future and how he handles these types of moments, learns from them and grows from them or doesn't, right? We don't know. We hope for the best for him. But generally speaking, I like the Taylor Booth shout. Daryl Dike deserving. Ricardo Pepi, I think, as well. Zendejas, another key player moving forward. And so I agree with Charlie's sentiments. And again, Tim Weah just showing that he may not be the go-to guy at his club, but good enough where the coach is trying to find a way to keep him on the field at all times to be a contributor because he's got those tools, I think, is only going to make him a more versatile or a better player for our national team as well. So those are my final thoughts. Other than that, I love this roster. I love this lineup. I love the opportunity. I think it's a breath of fresh air for us. Something to be excited about.
When's the last time we felt like this? Honestly, when's the last time we were like, damn, I'm good with this.
Yeah, when Charlie scored against Mexico, that was the last time I felt that.
Okay, the last time is when I got was when I got called on the roster.
Yeah, when Jimmy was the when last Jimmy time played in a when World
I,
Cup game.
When I played in a World Cup game, that's the last time I felt good about a roster. Well, Heath, thank you so much for joining us today. We know you got to go and keep rocking that Ethan Hawke look.
Oh, really, by the way, I'm still working on Balogun. I'm working. Yeah.
All right.
I got a big iron in the fire. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay. Okay. Chuck right, making some big promises here before you leave, Heath. Heath, take it easy, big guy. Going back to Hollywood, he's on his own little vacation, but not in a warm locale like Chuck is in the Dominican. All right, let's talk to your DK a little bit. 3 goals in his last 4 games, Chuck. And 22 years old, obviously we talk about ceilings and potential. He's got a lot. He's got a lot of ceiling left. He's got tons of potential. It's more about consistency, I think, and obviously adding some tools to his game. Most notably, I would say his hold-up play. When to play backwards, when to maybe roll a guy, right? You got to make sure you're unpredictable and the type of decision-making that you're making and looking for those maybe quick combinations. We're seeing elements of that now playing for West Brom, which I don't think is an easy team. He's playing for Steve Bruce, who, having seen him coach for many, I don't think he's the coach that's going to like bring that into his game. So it's a little bit of Daryl bringing it, talking it to his teammates, getting that experience, and obviously playing in a league that's very difficult as well to like try to settle the ball and have like a, I don't, no disrespect to the championship. I just think it's the most difficult league in the world. There's so much pressure. Yeah. And And they play so many games that I think it's hard sometimes for them to really settle down and have the identity they want. But that said, individually instead of the collective, I think Daryl DK has really grown, especially since the beginning of the year. So I'm very excited to see him get in here. He's got 3 goals and 8 caps for the U.S. men's national team. Do you think he gets minutes, though? I mean, there's so many players. Yes. We talk about this roster, though, but we want to see these guys play. And that's what kind of got me going initially was about Zach Steffen and Matt Turner. But there's other areas, too. Well, I want to see Zendejas get some valuable minutes with the first team. I want to see Taylor Booth get some valuable minutes with the Gio Reynas and the Pulisics. So you know what I mean? You want to see these guys so we can actually evaluate them in a situation. Maybe Granada and El Salvador aren't the best opponents per se, but you still want to see them play with our best players.
Chris Phillips in the YouTube comment section. I wasn't going to address this from Slick on Top, this comment, but Daryl DK can be the same as a Haaland. Come on. I'm in Dominican Republic. So
I don't know if you can compare Daryl DK to Erling Haaland, especially after Erling Haaland scored 5 goals.
No.
Against RB.
As they would say in the Dominican Republic, tranquilo. Tranquilo,
yeah, chill. Yeah. No, we can't overhype our players. No. We got to leave that. Those are the Freddie Adu years. We're past that now.
Yeah, DK is
no more overhyping.
Is that Erling Haaland? But I will say, when I look at Daryl DK, he has to play to his strengths. And right now, I think he knows what he's good at. He knows his ability, his ceiling. In terms of his first touch and his movement, I think his movement has been fantastic. He's only getting better. His first touch, that's going to be interesting to see. The pace of the game internationally is much quicker. Although when you're playing against the lower CONCACAF teams, that might be a way to get into it slower and find your feet and find your footing. So for me, yes, Daryl DK should be called in just based on his form because he is scorching hot right now and his ability. And we're lacking a striker who is very dominant with his hold up play. So in terms of hold up play, his runs and his finishing, he's top notch right now, and he can only get better. The weak parts of his game, being able to face up a defender 1v1, his first touch in tight spaces, when teams take away the ball where you come and check for your midfielders, what else can you do for your team? I think that's where we want to see him improve. And it's not that he can't improve. He just has to make that step. So I'm confident that Daryl DK can do it because, like I said, I've seen him from college and he was a ways away from being successful at MLS. There's a huge step, a lot of things he had to work on. He did that under Oscar Pereira. And then he did that again in the championship. And he's shown that he has the tools to be successful as a 9. So let's go, DK. I'm thrilled. I've always been supportive of him. So
I agree with you. What I find interesting now that I actually look a little bit harder at this roster graphic, Daryl DK and Ricardo Pepi are the only strikers, like traditional strikers, in this camp. So I feel like they're probably both going to get some valuable minutes against opponents that will most likely drop into a low block and make it difficult for us. So I'm kind of curious to see who Anthony Hudson elects to start in either of the games, or if he goes with the same person. Ricardo Pepi has been very busy. I like his movement in the box right now, very similar to Daryl DK. I think they're in good form. I'm a bit surprised that Josh Sargent is not in the team. He could have added another one, right? There's no roster restrictions on how many players he could have brought in. So maybe there was a bigger conversation. I have some questions of a few players. More defensive, and I guess Malik Tillman over not getting Alan Senora over Malik Tillman. But Taylor Booth, I like a lot. For everybody that doesn't know, he plays for Utrecht in the Eredivisie, which is the Dutch league. And Utrecht's offense runs through him. There have been some good articles that I've seen, some really hardcore analysis about how everything runs through Taylor Booth. And I like that he's getting that responsibility and then shining with that responsibility, so much so that Manchester United has shown some interest in him. And I think the strongest reason as to why is that Erik ten Hag, the coach of Manchester United, used to be the coach of Utrecht and has a very strong tie there. And I believe he played at Utrecht as well. So his links to that club are very strong. They can have obviously open communication with him, and they're monitoring Taylor Booth. So I think that's very exciting, but hopefully not too much pressure, but I want to see him play. So I'm kind of curious when you see this, if we did a front three right now, I kind of want to see Taylor Booth. I don't know if he starts, but I want to see him play for sure. Ricardo Pepi and Daryl DK, a little bit different in terms of their playing
styles. But they're both going to be not. They're both going to be nines. They're not going to be on the pitch at the same time.
No, they won't. You're right. They will not be on at the same time. So you have Booth on one side. Let's say you have Ricardo Pepi up top, Pulisic on the other side. I think you can slide in a Gio Reyna or a Brent. I'd put Gio over Brendan at this point underneath.
Yes. Agreed.
But then I feel bad because I'm looking at Timo Weah. Like, that guy was awesome for us in the World Cup, and he's getting valuable minutes playing multiple positions in Liga for his team in France, Lille. It's interesting what you do here because, I mean, I think Timo Weah probably starts, and maybe Gio slides under if you wanted to start him, and Taylor Booth would probably be a second option, like Zendejas and DK, I think, will probably be a second option to Pepi. But I wonder, and I think it's interesting that in our first real camp, post World Cup, that Pepi would be our first starting number nine in that game because we left him off the roster. I don't know how much we want to get into that side of things, but hopefully that whole experience makes him a better player, right? That's all you can ask for.
That's all you can hope for, is that he comes in just with that killer mentality. As a striker, your main goal is to score goals and to be one of those players who can bring in other players into the attack. So I would like to see someone playing underneath him as a 10. And then you could go with two strikers. That way you get more players who are comfortable with the ball at their feet. And so we're going to see a lot more combinations and players interchanging, which will make our attack more fluid. I like that idea. I don't know if Anthony Hudson is ready to implement those type of tactics and to run out a team like that. But this would be, if there's ever a time to put a team out there where you're saying, hey, we're going to keep the ball, we're going to dictate the tempo, we're going to be the creative ones on the front foot, this is where you could try the 3-5-2. And you could get creative with that 10 underneath two strikers. And the two strikers, one is DK or Pepi.
You could play a 3-5-1-1, though, right? You still have the single striker, but have that second striker. It doesn't have to be Pepi or DK. It could be a Pulisic or a Reyna. Because Reyna... I remember when Haaland was at Dortmund still, they would have Reyna sometimes floating underneath him, right? Just to be close to him, to look for those combination passes or to spring him in some way. It's just an option, but it doesn't have to be like a 3-5-2. It could be a 3-5-1-1. Because I think we have a few players that can play that second striker option.
But the second striker is, you're still two, as in he's higher up the pitch.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, it's like Josie and myself. Josie was more of a central striker, holding the ball up. Mm-hmm. And I was always making runs off of them. And so, you know, you could still find that type of partnership, but it might be some mixing and matching.
Okay, well, some of the other news that happened yesterday that got confirmed by U.S. Soccer is that Alex Zendejas made his decision. He could have played for either Mexico or the U.S. He was born in Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, but moved to El Paso, Texas as a child, and he made his debut in January for us under Anthony Hudson, but it was a friendly. So he still could make that switch. He's played for our youth national team as well. And Diego Coca, the new coach for Mexico, tried to recruit Zendejas to play for El Tri in this month's Nations League. But ultimately, Mr. Zendejas went with the U.S. He is 25 years old. He needed to file a one-time national team switch to make that happen. He did. And now I feel like he adds to the depth chart. I find it interesting, when we look at Alex Zendejas and where he fits in, especially, I feel like he is a winger, and that might be our deepest spot. So I wonder, at 25 years old, if you have the Mexican coach courting you as hard as he was and probably promising him some playing time, I don't think that anybody at U.S. Soccer, if we had a sporting director and a general manager and a full-time coach, could offer him anything more than what Mexico could. But yet he still commits. And he said, his quote here, I'll give it to you: "I'm very proud of being Mexican-American." This has got to be hard. And I've had conversations with a lot of friends that are dual nationals and making that choice and disappointing part of your family that definitely wanted you to represent the side that they're most proud of. But he said, "I'm very proud of being Mexican-American. Values from both cultures and maybe the person I am today. I'm very grateful for all the opportunities the U.S. and Mexico have provided for me and my family. Making a decision on your international career is very difficult, and I believe in following your hearts. Mine tells me that my future lies representing the USA." I'm thrilled to have this guy on the team. And because he's going to give us tremendous depth, and I think he could be a real spark plug off the bench. But I don't know, when I think about his future, where he breaks in regularly as a starter, Chuck.
I don't see regularly as a starter. I just don't. But a squad player, someone who comes in, rotate, maybe there's injuries, that's always a possibility. But at the moment, I don't see him being a starter on this team. Unless he makes a move to Europe and he's playing consistently on a big club and continues to grow. But he's not better than Christian Pulisic. He's not. He's not better than, in my opinion, Gio Reyna when he's at his best.
Timo Weah
when he's at his best. And we don't know what Taylor Booth looks like with this group at his best. But given that, he's still a quality player. So you love the fact that you're adding someone who could fill in these different positions and the level not drop. So he has quality. He's just going to have to continue to improve. And I don't know what his ceiling is yet. You know, he could have a higher ceiling. He could fit in incredibly with this group, but there's too many unknowns at this point.
Yeah. What I think is thrilling, and if we want to speak about the evolution of the U.S. men's national team, I would say, Chuck, and you can confirm or deny this, but about 6, 7, 8 years ago, we might be competing with Mexico for a player that was like a sub on a Mexican league team, like a good Mexican league team, right? I think of Paco Torres, who I think was a sub for Tigres for a while, and he wasn't like a mainstay. But now we're competing for guys that are contributing to their teams, and not just any team, but Club America, who are considered like the New York Yankees of Mexico, right? They win all the titles, all that good stuff. They have a rich history, and he's got 6 goals and 3 assists for them. And so he has become a very important player, and that is awesome. And I can't, I'd hug him right now if he was right in front of us. I mean, I'm thrilled that he's joining us. I just hope that he feels good about it in a couple of years when he's battling for minutes. But he's got to know that going in when you look at who he's competing against. And it's just not going to be the players that we're currently seeing on these rosters. We have a ton of really talented young players that are coming up as well. If he sets up on the left side and goes in on his right, like we have Christian do at times, well, you got a lot of left-sided players that are coming up. Caleb Wiley, 18-year-old, just scored a couple goals for Atlanta United. I know he usually starts a little deeper, but he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. You have Kevin Paredes, who's doing it at Wolfsburg right now. I mean, there's just going to be a lot of competition, as there should be. It's the national team, and we have a lot of players that are playing at a high level and doing some good things. So it's an exciting time to be a fan of the team. I just wonder. But I'm excited that he's on. I'm excited he's on the squad. So, all right, we're going to take our last break of In Soccer We Trust. When we come back, we're going to talk about the official announcement of how the 2026 World Cup is going to shake out. And maybe we'll give you like a fun starting lineup that Chuck and I will put together here ahead of this first game against Granada. So don't go anywhere.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violent Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome back, everybody, to In Soccer We Trust. I'm Jimmy Conrad alongside Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies. Hollywood Heath Pierce had to go do Hollywood things, so he bounced a little bit earlier. But we're going to break down a few more things around this roster announcement before we let everybody go on this glorious Wednesday. But before we get there, don't miss a second of the action from the greatest club competition on earth, the Champions League. And then on Thursdays, the Europa League. And Chuck has been covering that quite intimately with Paramount+. Follow the biggest stars from a world of soccer like Karim Benzema, Victor Osimhen. Napoli is absolutely crushing it in Serie A this season. They're going to win their first Scudetto since 1988 when Diego Maradona was on the team. That's very exciting. Erling Haaland, who scored 5 goals yesterday. What a beast. Bukayo Saka from Arsenal and Casemiro, if he doesn't get a red card, as they try to clinch continental glory. You can stream every match from the Champions League and the Europa League live only on Paramount+. Try 1 month free with the promo code advance. Exciting times now in the knockout rounds for this. Make sure you catch it with that promo code. All right, Chuck Wagon. Let's talk about, let's put a roster. Let's put a starting lineup together. What are you saying for Granada? You know, what are you thinking? Let's go goalkeeper. You got Matt Turner for sure. Yeah. No question.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You got a preface. Give us the preface. I thought it sounds like you wanted to say something ahead of who.
No. I guess the preface was, do we think they'll play a 3-5-2? I'm hopeful, but I think they're going to play the standard 4-3-3 that we've seen.
Okay. All right. So the last time we played Granada in the first part of this, these games are really, we played them in June 10th and we won 5-0. Jesus Ferreira, if you remember, scored four goals, and then Paul Arriola scored one as well to make it 5-0. When I look at this lineup, we had 25 shots. They had three. We had 70% possession to their 30. We rolled out a 4-3-3. Matt Turner was in goal for that one. We had Reggie Cannon. Let's just remind everybody what that lineup looked like. Matt Turner, Reggie Cannon, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Aaron Long, Anthony Robinson was our back four. Luca De La Torre, Weston McKennie, Kellen Acosta was our middle three. And Arriola, Ferreira, and Jordan Morris was our front three to start. And then they lined up in a 4-2-3-1. Whatever, we steamrolled them. And we got after it pretty early on. It took us 43 minutes to score that first goal. And then once we scored that first one, we scored the next four within the next 20 minutes. But scoring first, obviously, always important. But when we score first, I think we'll really determine how the rest of the game plays out and how many goals we can score. I don't know. That one was at home. This one is in Granada. I think it could be a little bit more difficult, as we've seen with Austin FC, who went down to Haiti and couldn't get the job done at home. Austin FC, what's going on in the CONCACAF Champions League? Conversation for another time. But, Chuck, I think you go Matt Turner in goal. I agree with you on that.
Yep. Yes. Back four.
You're going 4-3-3?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I just think that he's not going to try something different.
Okay.
So left back, Anthony Robinson. Left center back, Tim Ream. Right center back is going to be, in my opinion, Miles Robinson. And the right back will be Sergiño Dest. That's who I think will be starting.
Okay. One more time. Roll it out for me. I completely blanked as I was looking at the schedule.
Anthony Robinson, left back.
Okay.
Tim Ream, left center back.
Fulham connection.
Miles Robinson. Right center back. Yes. And then right back, Sergiño Dest.
I would love to see Miles Robinson into this. Now, just as a reminder, everybody, we will have a special preview for this, and we'll know more as it gets closer. The game against Granada is on March 24th, so we've got 8 days to really start looking into this. But this is just our preliminary starting lineup. I think that I agree with you with Turner. I agree with you on Anthony Robinson and Tim Ream, and I can see Sergiño Dest starting. I don't know if they're going to go with Miles. I think that Mark McKenzie might get the start here. That's it.
I wouldn't be mad. So, I mean, you can't go wrong with either, I think, in this situation.
Do you think we'll see Austin Trusty at all in any of these games? I mean, maybe if we're up 5-0 on Granada, you bring in Trusty for the last 30, something like that.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things where you just bring him in and see what he looks
like. He's just going to taste. Yeah, cool. Yeah. I get that. All right, midfield then. Who's your midfield three against Granada on March 24th?
Yunus Musah and Weston McKennie are the central deep lying central midfielders.
Okay.
And then I'm going with the 10, and that would be Gio Reyna at the 10 spot. And I think
I think
the evidence is Hudson going over to Europe to have that conversation with Gio Reyna, considering everything that's happening, bringing him in and saying, all right, clean slate. You've learned a lot. We've learned a lot. The only way to move forward is to get you into this lineup, get you on the pitch, and see what this looks like going forward. Give us your best commitment, the mentality. Everyone has moved on. Play him at the 10 and see what it looks like.
I think also by putting Reyna centrally, it kind of solves your do I start Timo Weah or do I start Gio Reyna on the right side conundrum that could happen if you elected, because I could see a potential move of like, okay, Tyler Adams is out. Because if Tyler Adams had been healthy, he'd be starting. So then,
yes,
then you'd have a Weston, McKennie, Musah. Like, who do you? De La Torre's been really sharp for Celta over the last, you know, 2 months or since the beginning of the year. How do you find room for that? So if you went with Cordoso at your six and you had McKennie, let's say he's just a straight swap with Adams, then you have that Reyna Wea problem at the right side. And I think you want to get them both on the field, especially to your point, which I think is smart, which is that you went over there and you, Anthony Hudson extended this invitation. In some ways, I think you got to play him, or at least got to start him, and then see how it plays out from there. Interesting. Interesting. I do think, though, that because the opponents, though, and I'm going to reiterate what I said before, are going to be sitting back, I could see us not having, maybe we start, I'm putting air quotes up for people that can't see me, in a double six, but ultimately you're just saying Yunus Musa and McKennie, like, if you see the space, go take it. Go support the attack, because we're going to have a lot of
ball. Course.
Yeah. Not to say that you weren't suggesting that, but I just think that that'll be interesting. So I wouldn't mind seeing more of Cardoso, especially with the top team that we have at our disposal. But I'm curious. That's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. But I like what you put together, so I'll stick with that right now. Okay, forwards. Who are our front three then?
And the front three, Christian Pulisic on the left, Timothy Weah on the right, and Ricardo Pepi up top.
Okay. I like that. I think that... me and you, Chuck, we're in line right now. I should put on my polo shirt too, like you are, looking good in Dominican. I can channel my inner Charlie Davies. Yeah, so I like that lineup. Kind of curious what everybody else thinks as well. Hit us up on Twitter at ISWTPod. Hit us up in the comments right now. Obviously, we have plenty of time to break this down. Well, again, as it gets closer and as we get more news and as we get to see what's shaping up behind the scenes and we get some more information from maybe some players that are there, we'll get a better, more well-rounded account of who we think is going to line up ahead of that Granada game. That game, again, is Friday, March 24th, and it is in Granada and kicks off at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. All right, Chuck, so let's talk about FIFA expanding the 2026 World Cup. I think we've talked about it before, but now it's becoming a little bit more official. They're getting more into, instead of having groups be three teams, it's going to be 12 groups of four. But by doing that, you're going to add a game to the sequence. So instead of it taking seven games to win the World Cup, it's going to take eight. So you're going to have to extend the tournament. And then you're going to have 104 total games as opposed to 80. The top two, let's see, 12 groups of four. So rather than 16, So top two and the eight best third place teams go to a round of 32. That's why it's going to add that extra game. And then finalists will play eight games. The final will be July 19th in the U.S. Your thoughts?
Yes, I love it.
You love you. You want more games. You're okay with that?
Yes, I want more games. As there should be, if there's 48 teams, there should be theoretically more games.
True.
So, I'm glad that they did groups of four instead of the three team groups. That would have just been a mess, I think, in my opinion. So, stick with the standard three matches. Three matches.
Yeah, I agree with that. So they're just saying that it possibly means six matches a day. So the first game might kick off at 1 p.m. Eastern with another starting every 2 hours and then ending at on the West Coast at 10 p.m. Pacific. So that would be pretty wild. But you got to do something, right? Something has to give. There has to be some sacrifice. All right, everybody, we are done. Within Soccer We Trust, Charlie's got to continue to go enjoy his best life in the Dominican Republic. We already set Heath Pierce free. I need to go on vacation, apparently, since these other guys are enjoying it. But thank you, as always, for listening and watching. We appreciate your support. Congratulations to all the players here on the roster. I think it's a good one. We all think it's a good one, and it should be a lot of fun to watch these guys get after it in these two games. So on behalf of Producer Des, Producer Alex, Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies, and Hollywood Heath Pierce, I'm Jimmy Cream Cheese Trash Can Conradino Conrad, also known as Jim, saying thank you again for all of your support. Please vote for us on the awards. It's in the description or in that QR code, and we will see you next week. Enjoy it, everybody. See you soon.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.